Good morning, everyone. I hope you're well again, and as always, glad to be with you this morning, and excited to spend time with you in the Word, and always laughing. I think I shared in an email once with some of those on the board that our farm is somewhat of an incubator for spiritual principles. Doesn't necessarily make all that much money, but nonetheless, we learn a lot, and we were laughing this week as we were looking at doing some logging and needing some income, and as far as looking to how to get that done and spending time with loggers and hearing how, a third of them are maimed or drop trees on their heads, and they tried to put the fear of the Lord into us that it wasn't a smart thing to do ourselves. And in the process of investigating how we might do such a thing and get the best bang for our buck and be good stewards of the land, a gentleman called me and said, "Listen, I know an instructor who's an arborist who's teaching some men to be certified as loggers, and they're looking for a place to train. How about they come for free and cut all your trees down?" And I said, "So you're going to cut the trees down. Do I have to limb them and then buck them to length?" And they said, "No, that's part of the training. We'd like to do it all." So it was hilarious. And so we'll see if they did a good job. But still laughing at the way the Lord works often and how he provides. This morning, we're going to spend some time looking at how it is we are called to live before this God. Last week, we were looking at hope. And this time, often we throw around these big words like Advent, a season in which we are celebrating, awaiting with anticipation. A time in which we are waiting, not without hope, but hope in a God who we know and are confident is acting on our behalf. At a time in which we desire and have always desired to get to God, we celebrate a God who didn't wait for us, but chose, instead of waiting for us to get to God, to come to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not us getting to heaven one day, but providing a way to live a heavenly life here on earth today, now. And this is what we're celebrating during this Advent season. And as we looked at hope last week, hope more than a feeling. And if you can remember, we looked at the fact that in the book of Esther, they were in a time, a situation, a place without hope, emotionally distraught, directionless, without hope of a way out, or so it seemed. And yet, despite it all, confidence in a God they knew to be true. And so rather than letting their emotions dictate their fate, they allowed their faith to dictate their direction and their emotions. Because they knew who God was, despite how they felt in the moment, despite the circumstances. Hope, more than emotion, more than a feeling. And this morning, same thing. Love, more than an emotion. And I'm going to start by reading a few verses in the book of James in chapter 2. And as we read these verses, you may ask yourself, what does this have to do with love? And I hope by the end you'll understand. Let's pray before we read. Lord, thank you that again this morning we can come before you and we can trust again that we come before a living God. That as we open your word, it is not an academic study. It is not something that we attain simply to know more. But we bow our hearts low and trust that you are a God who desires to be known. Emmanuel, God with us, you are making yourself available. And this morning I pray that with that acknowledgement alone, that we are dependent on you today to know you, to see your will and your way. I pray this morning that you would encourage each and every one of our hearts in what it means not only to know you, but to walk in you, and to be a child of you. Thank you that this morning we can open your word, and I pray that we would be hearing with hearts wide open your encouragement for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Says this in James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, this morning, as we read in the book of James, there's this dividing point between simply speaking and doing, simply talking and displaying. And it's interesting this week, as we look at this Advent in which we've celebrated hope and now looking to a candle in which we light about love. It's interesting, I was listening to a podcast this week in which a gentleman was taking great issue with a famous saying, do what you love. Or follow what you feel, right? Which is something we touched on last week. And here was his point: just because you do what you love, it doesn't inherently mean you're going to love the outcome, right? And we know what that means. He made another point which was great, and that was this: if the whole world simply did what it loved, the world would shut down tomorrow, right? Because we'd all be doing not what we need to do, but what? What we love to do. And there'd be a lot of video games played and a lot of this going on, a lot of that, a lot of food eaten, but not a lot of productivity, not a lot of moving forward, not a lot of anything valuable or needed for life to carry forward. The world would, in effect, shut down if we just did what we love. So what does that mean? Do what you love. Well, the reality is when someone says that, they're saying, listen, when you're at a crossroads, you're at a difficult decision point, do what you love. Do what would really make you happy. And you see, this morning, as I'm wrestling with that, there's something important here, and that is just because you choose to do what makes you happy, just because you choose what you love, doesn't make it guarantees a lovely outcome, does it? Because I can do what I love. I can go and choose the occupation, the hobby, the joy, the thing that brings me happiness. And tomorrow, I can lose a family member. And in the midst of following the path of love or something that makes me happy, I can find ultimate sorrow there, right? There's things that I think are going to bring me one emotion, and at the end of that road, I find something totally different. And this morning, as we look at the fact that love is more than a feeling, and it brings me back to this point in place that a friend, he always said this, as he would often speak, and he said it this way. He says, everybody loves a wedding. Not many people love a marriage. Why? Because we all love a wedding. Right? The bride is always the most beautiful. The groom is always the most handsome. We love the food. I believe I had an uncle who came to our wedding, and we had married on Thetis Island. They served salmon. He didn't like fish, so all he ate was buns at our meal. He came to the wedding, didn't enjoy the wedding, didn't enjoy the food, right? No, but predominantly, we come, we enjoy the celebration, we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the friendship, we enjoy the watching of lives meeting, we enjoy the greeting, right? Everybody loves a wedding. Problem is, not many love the marriage. Not many. Reading the most recent statistics, listen to this. In Canada, 2003 to 2011 census, 38% to 41% of marriages in Canada have a risk of ending before their 30th anniversary. Love the wedding. What a celebration. My sister got married in Las Vegas, and yes, Elvis Presley hosted the after party. It was amazing. Love the wedding. Not many what? Love the marriage. love some of these articles because it's interesting as you get into the marriage debate, and there's often articles on what's greater, arranged marriage or a love marriage. Interestingly enough, arranged marriages, India statistics, separation, India, 1.1% divorce rate from arranged marriages. Globally, 6% divorce rate, arranged marriages. Canada, right? 38 to 40. By province, Quebec, 49% divorce rate. I've told you we lived in Quebec for a while. It actually wasn't cool to say you were married. In French, you'd introduce yourself, and we met all these young couples, and they'd all say mon chum, which in French is slang for my boyfriend. Took us forever to figure out that they were all married. It just wasn't cool to say so. 49%. Better provinces, you'd rather be a Newfie. 17% in Newfoundland. They're the best, right? Out east. But listen, here we have an arranged marriage versus what we call a love marriage. And isn't it interesting that it seems there's a whole lot more love in an arranged marriage than there is in a love marriage? And you get the understanding that our definition of love doesn't necessarily mean that love is in the equation. Because love is more than an emotion. Love is more than a feeling, and love is more than good intentions. Like all things, intention themselves don't make your actions morally right, do they? And today, as we've all read the famous quotes, right? The road to hell is paved with great intentions. It doesn't matter how great your intentions, how strong your emotion, how great that seeming, in the moment, bond of unity. It doesn't necessarily mean yet now you have love. Because love involves sacrifice. And just because you can say the words I do in the marriage doesn't mean you will say the words I will love in the rest of the relationship. Because to say I do is easy, to love is so much harder. And so as we move forward, and I love this quote from Carl Gustav Jung. Don't know him, never met him, but what he said was profound. You are not what you say you will do, but what you do. You are what you do, not what you say you will do. And at a time in Christmas, as we stand here today, it is filled with emotional platitudes of joy and love and generosity. Words of God bless and Emmanuel, God be with you. And yet, our words can speak volumes, and yet very little can we truly give out of love, can't we? There can be a great divide. And if anything, the church itself can be as hypocritical as any. God puts it this way, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And as you look at that definition, love, not an emotion, not a feeling of attachment, not an infatuation, but a laying down of one's life, a sacrificing of oneself. I have to be challenged this week as the Lord is challenging me as a father, as a husband, how easy it is to go out and at a time when there is much Christmas cheer all around us. I read James chapter 2 and I pass by and say, God bless, Merry Christmas. May you know the Lord of life and love. And what I say in word, here's the challenge, do I acknowledge indeed also? James 2, what profit is there for you to say, be warm, and yet walk away and what? not give them what they need in that moment. You are what you do, not what you say you will do. And I say a lot of lovely things, but often as I dig deep, great discrepancy in what I say and what I often do. Great deal of empathy for the people on the street, for the people in tent city, for the people that lack and are without. And yet not a great deal of energy in actually helping. And don't ask me how to help, because I don't know. Because when you get something as vast as a tent city, and the amount of difficulties, and the amount of problems, and the amount of issues that lie within, it's not a cookie cutter answer. But here's the reality. It's easy to say, God bless you, I love you, be warm, be fed. Much harder, in the midst of that feeling of empathy, to engage the energy to actually do something. And as we move forward, here's the take home today. We worship a God, we worship in hope, in a God who does not have platitudes, who does not speak empty words, a God who says greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Here's God, Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were bankrupt, empty, without, in need, unable, incapable to pay back what was demanded for our sin. God didn't just define love. What did he do? While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Familiar verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, today we come together in this Advent season to worship not a God of words, not a God of empty empathy, who looks at us, looks at our situation, looks at our circumstances, looks down and says, too bad, too late. No, we worship a God who said, can't get to me, I'm coming to you. A God who said, love is sacrifice. A God who said, I'm prepared today to make the greatest sacrifice. My own Son on behalf of your sin. So when God says, listen in John 13, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That Jesus was preparing to do far more than show the way. But in this great reality, he came to be the way. To become what we could not be. And this morning, as we begin to look at the fact that love is far more than an emotion, and as we can look around at a time in which Christmas, for many, can be more a time of hurt than joy, a time where we are remembered of loved ones lost, a time in which we are reminded of hurts, perhaps when family aren't with us that we wish would be, a time in when we look around and see broken relationships instead of mended ones. We don't simply sit in the midst of empty emotions, however hard they feel, but in hope of a God of love, a God of impossibility that didn't just say the words, but did something about it. That didn't just define and talk about love, but exemplified it. And gave us the means to now live, and as we read in John 13, love each other just as I have loved you. How would the world change, even starting with this room, if we walked out these doors and loved one another as Christ loved us? Or we can walk out these doors and do what we love. See the difference? Do what I love, spend my money on myself. Do what I love, spend my money on escapism. Hide from my circumstances. Right? Don't deal with the hardships. Bury my head in the sand. Do what I love, pretend everything's fine. Walk with Christ's love, sacrifice. Walk the hard road for not only myself, but for those around me. Make the choice to lay down my life, lay down my ambitions, lay down my hopes, my dreams, for the sake of life and life abundant. My wife has taken up some work again in helping the family make ends meet, and in doing so has found herself working for someone, doing some external care with someone who's not easy to care for. Someone demanding, someone hard. And she quickly realized, as she takes a few shifts with this lady, that this lady had no one to take a shift on Christmas Day. Right? And now the question comes, do I take the shift? Or do we leave it? And you start looking at our 5 kids, and Christmas Day means everything. Right? And we chose, don't pose the question. It's not our decision. It's got to be theirs. They've got to buy in. How about we invite this lady to our home Christmas morning? Here's the kids. It would make things uncomfortable. We don't know her. We don't like her. We don't like stories about it. Do you know what I mean? This would change everything. But listen, guys, it's fine, because instead of opening our gifts in the morning, we could open them in the evening, and this lady would have a place to be. Yes, but I don't want to open them in the evening. Do you see what I mean? A tradition is morning. Like, that. Listen, this isn't going to work. And as we went around the table, it was interesting. We said, listen, it's got to be a yes or no. Because either we're prepared to make the sacrifice and welcome this woman in, or we're not. And so we went around and we talked about there's what we want to do and what's right to do. There's what we'd love to do and what we know we should, in God's grace, do. And as we went around, we had kids go, I think we should do it. And we had another go, I think we should do it. All right, so I'm like, okay, that's 2 out of 3. Next, I want to make my point clear. I don't want to do this. I protest, but we should probably do it, right? It's like, okay, 2.5 out of 3, and we went down the line, right? The reality is that often the right thing to do, the way of love, is not always the road to what we want, but it's the road where the Lord is taking us. And so as we celebrate love this morning, just as we celebrated hope in this Advent season, we go out these doors not considering what we can get, what traditions we can protect, but how through us is the Lord prepared to give. Because he gave his son. That's love. And he's called us to live and love as he first loved us. He's called us to sacrifice. And sometimes that may well seem like it's at the cost of our comforts, of the white picket fence, of the picturesque family around the tree. But there's something bigger at play. There's comfort, there's life, there's wants, there's eternity, there's dreams, there's hope in Christ. And I hope to challenge all of you, not that our family's not acting without some murmurings and grumblings yet, right? Because I think my wife said to her, why don't you come to our place? And she said, no, I'd rather be here. And so now it may take her out because she doesn't want to do what other people want to do. That's okay. It's not that everything will go the way we thought it would. But in the midst of it, whatever the circumstances, we don't let our emotions dictate our actions. Just like we read in Esther last week with Mordecai. Hope, regardless of how we feel, because we're confident in a God who we know to be true. Never leave us nor forsake us. Love, regardless of how we feel, because it is far greater than an emotion, far greater than a one-time commitment, far greater than a percentage of who would stay and who would divorce. It's a laying down of one's life. And today, that's a choice. And God made that choice for you and I. And he calls us into that daily choice for one another. Today we talk about a God of love. As we go out these doors, are you prepared to be loving? Or just share empty words of empathy? God bless. Merry Christmas. It's all good. Are you prepared to take the hard road and be the good of God in people's lives? I'm challenged. And I hope in some form you can be challenged too this week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can come together today and honor and worship a God of love. A God whose son in the garden said, if it were up to me, I'd let this cup pass before me. And yet, Lord, thy will be done. Thank you that you chose the road of love. Thank you that today you first loved us, that we might be vessels that share out of that vast wealth that you have given. Thank you that you give every day. I pray that we would not allow our lives, just as our attendance at church can become empty religion over a relationship with a holy God, so too can our thoughts and feelings be empty without action. Thank you that you've called us to a life that doesn't just know, but lives. And I pray that we would be reminded of that today and every day, that this is a season in which we celebrate giving and the greatest gift of all, which was you not bringing us to heaven, but bringing heaven down to earth where we might know and live and abide in you every day. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.